Hello, all of you Crystal fans, and welcome to Crystal Archive Podcast, episode number 13. I'm Foxbird22.
And I'm Dwight House.
Welcome to the 13th episode of the Crystal Archive Podcast. This is a special one because we have Dwight with us today, live from Digipan. How you doing, Dwight?
I'm doing great.
Excellent.
I'm glad I'm able to actually do this.
Absolutely.
Didn't know how much time I would have.
Yeah, I poked him with the cattle prod so that way he could be on here.
Well, this podcast has been recorded on September 8th on a Saturday, which is convenient. And as you know, the 8th is the day we're supposed to release a podcast every month, so hopefully we'll be able to get this thing edited by this afternoon and release it by this evening.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. Finally have it on time for once.
Well, for the second time, actually. Well, third That's time, true. Really, because yeah. that time before. Mm-hmm. So, yes. Hopefully we can get this out on time to you guys, and y'all will enjoy this because we have a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yep, and first up in the Crystal Nerves is a long-lost artist, and Dwight found him, so
well,
I'll let Dwight
find
talk about
him
a little bit.
I didn't find him, actually. It's Hitmaker, a guy who visits the site, you know, this Crystal site thing, it's pretty popular these days, and I'm always surprised that so many people like to go there, and they often know quite a bit of insider-type information. Hitmaker contacted me a few weeks, actually, after I posted. It was several days or a week or two after I posted about Pei. I posted a feature artist saying, this is Pei. No one knows who he is. He's this really great furry artist, and he's done these two pictures with Cat and Crystal, and they're really, really well done. I mean, the one with Crystal almost looks like he did it in a 3D program. It's got such good shading. And it's very realistic and very pretty. It's probably a lot of people's favorite Crystal fan art.
And, yeah, I really like it, too.
You like it a lot?
Yep.
Would you say it's your favorite?
Well, I don't think I've seen enough Crystal art to really have a really solid-based favorite.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I've only been doing the art for a couple of months, you've been doing it for well over a year now, so...
Yeah, well, I mean, you can always have your favorite. I mean, you can always change it later. I mean, what's your favorite as of now?
I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and look at some of the ones. There was a one, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, that I really, really liked. And I really like Hawk McBlade's ones. Those are really
cool. Oh, yeah, the chibi ones. Chibi is cool. I like that.
I are prepared for zombies.
And we'll talk more about that in just a minute. But anyway, Pei, so we've been looking for this artist, and so has a lot of people all over the interwebs. And, well, Hitmaker had found him a few months ago. Hitmaker's, I think he said it was his hobby to go out and find the sites for Japanese artists. And he found Pei. And this is all good news, except for one thing, and that is that for some reason, we believe it was because he was being hassled by people about his furry-related art. He removed all his furry-related art. So it no longer exists on the internet except, you know, through trading among fans. So... it's unlikely, right? It's unlikely that we'll see any more Crystal or other furry art from Pei, which is unfortunate because he's very, very talented.
Yeah, you guys should definitely take a look at his art if you haven't yet.
Yeah, I mean, the art he has now is about a rather strange American band that they play songs while wearing like superhero costumes and like fight evil on stage. It's kind of strange, but he does a lot of art for them. I'm not exactly sure the connection, but it's interesting to say the least.
Yeah, to say the least.
Okay, so the next thing is another thing that we can thank Hitmaker for.
Thanks, Hitmaker.
I've on the Crystal Archive, I've placed bounties on information. I've spoken about this on previous podcasts. I've offered about $50 to anyone who can do certain things for me, and one of those things was find a way to decode Star Fox Command, so I can grab the 2D sprites of the characters and various things from the games. Ending scenes, intro scenes, stuff like that. Well, Hitmaker informed me of a new program that was specifically designed for extracting images, audio, and other related things from DS data, DS game data. So I put in like 5 hours one night, and I basically wrote some code into the program to tell the program how to decode the files, and I was able to get a very small percentage of the sprites out. I got several crystal-related sprites, including some that are not in the final game.
Yeah, there was one really interesting one. Jody,
yeah.
How did you find that?
Well, in the thing, every time it's referring to a sprite or the character Crystal, when she's still wearing her Cornarian Army get-up or whatever, with the helmet and everything, they refer to her in the source code as Jody. And they refer to Crystal as Crystal, of course. But they refer to her as Jody. And some people have theorized that was another way of keeping herself hidden, changing her name. But we don't know. But that's an interesting mystery there.
Yeah, definitely interesting one.
And now I'm still trying to, I mean, I don't really have any way to go any further with this. I could not get the endings, I couldn't get the intro, I couldn't get the sprites from the cutscenes. And the reason is for those, I know where they are. The reason is they're there and I found them, but with the sprites I was able to get out, there's three files that results in one sprite. You have to give it a panel file, which is tells it how to block up, how to arrange the blocks of imagery and create the image. And then after that, you give it a palette, which tells you what colors to use. And then you give it the image file itself, and it gives you, and it results in the final sprite, although it may be warped in some way, but you can easily fix that by adjusting some variables. Well, the ones that are still missing are in a different format, where the block information and the palette information is stored in the same file. And I basically have to analyze the image format at the basic level and then write a script to decode it. And I have no idea how to decode image formats, which was kind of the original problem. So I'm going to keep looking at that, but for now, I can't give you those high-resolution ending images yet. I'm still working on it, but for now, until something new comes up or I learn a lot more about image formats, you're not going to see any more from that. But I can't thank Hitmaker enough for what he's done. And as soon as I can get the rest of the sprites, I'm going to send him that $50 check, because he deserves it.
That's pretty cool. Sounds like it's quite a bit of work to decode it, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, once I figured out what formats did what, the program did all the real work. But if I wanted to do any more than that, it would be serious research to do that.
Well, that's pretty cool. Hopefully you can find the endings and the intro pretty soon.
There is one extra thing kind of related to this, and that is a way to get Assault things. I've tried to emulate Assault on my computer before because I've seen other people do it. Basically, they got maybe 2 frames per second it was unplayable. But they managed to get some really high resolution screenshots of Crystal from the cutscenes. And I wanted to try that too, and since I have a really powerful Mac, I can install Windows on it through Parallels, and that's a virtualization system, similar to emulation. And it didn't work. And I didn't realize for a long time, but it turns out that though it virtualizes the processor, it does not virtualize the graphics chip. It actually emulates that, so it can't run any kind of serious 3D graphics. So today or tomorrow, I'm actually going to have to install Windows directly on my Mac with Bootcamp, which is not virtualization. It's directly running Windows on the Mac, and that should be much faster. And I might actually get some results, getting some assault screenshots. So that's something coming up here pretty soon.
Those would be nice to have.
Yeah, they will. Because, well, Crystal Look and Assault is my favorite, I think. Just a little bit more than Adventures. No, not much.
Yeah, I like her Look and Assault as well. I've used that version with a little bit of change in my own story.
Which we'll be talking about shortly. Yeah, all right.
Yeah. Okay, so Dwight, I have a question for you. There is something going around the internet about Crystal, and it says that she cannot enjoy her sandwich. What's that all about?
Well, it's obvious that Crystal can't enjoy her sandwich, because there's still haters out there. There's still people who hate Crystal. I'm just kidding.
Down with them. Why do you hate Crystal?
Right. There is what's called an internet meme, and an internet meme... It's one of my very favorite things. If you've ever heard of All Your Base or Belong to Us, or Oh Really? Yeah, Really, and The Internet is Tubes, and other related things. These are all things that start on the internet. Simple phrases, sometimes with a video or image, that show off some concept really fast, and it's usually very funny, especially when you understand the context. Well, Crystal is now the star of her very own internet meme. Now, this happened only a few weeks ago. I believe it was in July. Let's see here. I've got the research. On Fur Affinity, on the 22nd of July, a user named CB created. He was doing some Bob Ross tutorials. Bob Ross is that guy who does Happy Little Clouds, and he's on public television. Have you ever seen that show? Everyone's heard of Bob Ross.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
Well, he was doing some landscape art, and it's like a tree with some dark clouds. It's all in monotone, or sepia tone, excuse me. But he was posting it to a furry board. So there was kind of an unwritten rule that it had to have some kind of furry related thing in it. So he just kind of tacked on a small little picture of Crystal. Standing there on the bottom left corner, eating a sandwich, and it was just completely random. And I should note, in this picture, Crystal is not wearing anything, but you can't see anything. Everything's covered up, with a clever use of her arm. But just as a fair warning for any of y'all who want to go out and see these memes out there, it might be slightly offensive to some of you. So that's why you don't see it on the Crystal Archive news, but I can talk about it on the podcast. So anyway, she's eating her sandwich, and someone on Fur Affinity noticed how strange this was and took out the picture of Crystal and started spamming Fur Affinity with all these pictures of Crystal standing there and trying to enjoy her sandwich, and in the background all kinds of things were going on that made her sad, like nuclear explosions and cars getting wrecked and all this stuff. Crystal can't enjoy her sandwich because insert something bad here. That's how the meme goes. So there was like 300, well, I mean, the spam account posted about 20 pictures before he was banned, and then Fur Affinity got ban happy and started banning anybody who had any partial relation to this. And they even banned the original poster, CB, who had nothing to do with this, although they eventually did unbanned him.
That's good.
And so, and because of all this drama that happened, people, it's now become a meme, and people post their own personas trying to enjoy a sandwich or trying to eat something, including the Fur Affinity fursona, the fursona of the guy who runs Fur Affinity, I believe. The fursona's name is Fender, and there's a picture of him eating his own tie because of messing up banning the original poster or something like that. So, now, if you want to have a meme there, and you want to say, you know, you shouldn't be doing this, or this is a bad thing, and if people ask you why, you could say, well, because Crystal can't enjoy her sandwich until, you know, this is resolved. So, like this morning, I told, we were getting ready to do this podcast, and I told Foxbird, okay, I'm ready, get on Skype right now, you know, and he said, well, I can't. I'm eating my Cheerios. I'm eating my Cheerios.
Yeah, you gotta have your cereal in the morning.
Right. He was eating his Cheerios and coffee. And I said, well, Foxbird... Yeah, I said, well, Foxbird can't enjoy his Cheerios because Dwight wants him to get on Skype.
Yeah, so that's right. Do not interrupt the Cheerio eating process.
That's right. That's right. You gotta be careful about that. So there it is. Crystal can't enjoy her sandwich. I hope you all enjoy that. New meme.
Yeah, it was quite funny when I first learned about it. So if you haven't heard that before, then I'm sure you're having a good laugh right about now.
Yeah, and I mean, really, you have to kind of see the pictures to really get how absurd this all is. You'd have to see her expression is just really, like, she's eating a sandwich and she's got a mouthful and she's looking up and, like, looking at you like, what are you doing, you know? It's really pretty strange.
Yeah.
So that's it for that part. The Crystal can't enjoy her sandwich. Foxbird, can you give us a fan art update?
Yes, I'm being very annoyingly slow right now. I'm sorry. But I'm going. And when it is done, you guys are going to have a massive list of fan art. It's probably the current list, I think I would say, is almost at 50 new arts. So we've going to have quite a bit of new stuff here pretty soon. There's already been a lot of new stuff this month, including two featured artists, UMS Author Lava and Hawk McBlade, who we mentioned a little bit earlier on. And UMS Author Lava has been making some Super Smash Bros. Brawl profiles for the characters, and one of them is Crystal, and I'm not sure if it's he or she, gave Crystal some of the moves that we all thought she would have. Like, she has the staff boost from Adventures, where she can be on the stage and she can boost herself away. She's also got a final smash as the Krizoa Pulse, which is where she gets energy from the Krizoas and I think lets out a blue beam, I think is what happens. So those are pretty fun. And also Hawk McBlade, which we mentioned with the chibi versions.
Yeah.
One of them is the IR prepared for zombies, and Crystal has like a cooking pot on her head, and she's holding a metal spoon, which is
preparing for a zombie attack.
That's right. And then the other one is where she eated a toast, and it's not exactly like Crystal can't enjoy her sandwich. She's just sitting down, and she has a piece of toast in front of her, and she's eating it. And she did a toast.
Mm-hmm. Those are pretty cute there. And that statue we mentioned last time.
Yes, that sold for $20. And I'm surprised, Dwight, you didn't get it. Why didn't you?
I wanted to get it, but I was just so busy getting ready to go here to DigiPen. Yeah. I didn't know if I could figure it out or work it out, because by the time I get it shipped, I would be moving to a different address, but I wouldn't know what address it would be by then, so I just didn't have time. Maybe next time.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be more crystal statues. But this one went for $20 to Train5063, so hopefully he enjoys it. And also, just a couple days ago, Dwight has added a couple of new fan films.
I haven't added them to the fan film section yet. I've got one more to add to the main page, and I'll probably do that right after I finish the podcast. And then once I put that one up, I'll add those three into the fan fiction section.
Fan films.
Fan films. I always get them mixed up. They all start with the word
I know.
Fan.
Fan art, fan fiction, fan films. Why can't they just make it something all different?
I could, but then it doesn't look as good on the site, on that little thing on the left. Yeah.
And actually, speaking of fan
fiction. Fan fiction.
Yeah.
Speaking of fan fiction.
Dwight has updated an unlikely enemy.
Yes, I did. It was a lot of work.
Yep.
Actually, it wasn't. You know, the difference was I started writing faster. I didn't spend so much time really going through and making sure every sentence was perfect. I just wrote it as fast as I could and made some smaller changes. And it apparently worked even better.
Yeah, it was actually probably our best chapter yet.
And it surprises me so much. I think you just like it because it's like three times longer.
Yeah, that definitely helps to have a longer chapter. But in either case, I mean, I've definitely noticed you've been improving quite a bit.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. So if you haven't read it yet, then definitely go read it. And I think you made a change to chapter 4. What was that all about?
Yeah, there was a plot hole. The first chapter, Pepe is the admiral. After Assault, he retires and becomes the admiral, the general, replacing General Pepper, as he does in command. But for some reason, I forgot that in chapter 4, so I had him as still part of the team in chapter 4. So suddenly, Pepe appears out of nowhere, like, asking Fox what he's doing, you know, like...
That's funny.
So I changed that. I had some good ideas for what Pepe was going to say in Chapter 5 since he was there, but since he wasn't, or he came later, I had to change completely what I was going to do. What about fan fiction reviews, though? Enough about my story.
Those are coming, too. I've actually got a new one for Dwight to add. It's called Like a Vixen Scorned by The Oracle, which is a pretty good story. It's where Crystal finds that she has... there's another survivor of Serenia named Topaz. And actually, there's another one, her father, Topaz's father. But Topaz's father is kind of twisted, and what he does is he upgrades living beings to have robotic-like bodies with an organic brain. So they're called cybers, and they can only understand things like delete or, you know, something like that. And then Topaz's father was about to go and invade the Lylat system and upgrade everyone else. So I won't spoil anything for you guys. It's definitely a good story. There's two other stories after that the Oracle has written. I haven't read them yet, but once I do read them, I'm sure they will be added to the fan fictions as well. So then there's, I think... two or three more that I still have to review, which I will probably do right after I'm done with the fan art.
Don't let it get ahead of you, or you'll regret it after a while.
I know. Don't worry, Dwight.
there's been a new Crystal related Flash movie on the internet now, and that is called... it goes by several names, but the name I stick to is Star Fox Excellent Adventure.
And it's definitely that.
It's a parody of Star Fox Adventure's story. And it is funny.
Yes, it's excellent. I mean, honestly...
How many times did you watch
There are so
that?
Many... Oh, I have no idea.
You said
probably
several billion times, I think?
No, I haven't. Well, that's impossible
well, you
to watch
know.
It that many times. But I'm sure I've probably watched it about 20 or so.
Yeah.
There's just so many classic lines in it. We'll go ahead and play some clips for you guys.
Yeah, we're going to play a clip right now.
Thanks for the ride, kiddo. You can go now. So that I completely have no more transportation anymore, and I'm stuck in this place I completely don't know. There you are, then. The Krazor Crystal!
Fox, to a bell roll! You heard him, Dr. Crumb. Victory!
Dear thief who stole my staff, use the B button to shoot exploding flames, and press A to swing with an upper strength. Also, if you stole my credit card, the password is A7XJ. Thank you!
A stick? I found a stick! Yeah!
I am General Scales. Behold to witness my power.
We can't let the villains of this adventure get away with this. Die, you stupid Krazoa crystals!
One of my favorite parts that you can't actually hear is where in the intro it's explaining, like, the intro to Star Fox Adventures, and it goes like this. It says, "Once upon a galaxy, the planet Serenity was destroyed by a villain so extreme, so big, so evil, that he will never be mentioned in any Star Fox game again. Crystal is on her way for revenge, but soon picks up a distress signal and speeds off, and her personal storyline will never be heard from again." And then it cuts to the intro, to the where she arrives at the Crystal Palace.
Yeah, and then the next line is where she's just, "So that way I'm completely abandoned in this place that I completely don't know."
The only thing is that it has some slight language, nothing just super bad. I don't remember what it was exactly, just watch out for that.
Yeah, it's just really minor.
So, hopefully you got a good taste from the clip we just played. Now, inspired by that flash, I went ahead and posted all the flashes I know about that are crystal related or have crystal in them. And so there's, of course, Star, and I've listed these all at the Crystal Lovers Association. We'll put a link to that in the show notes. But there's, of course, Star Fox Excellent Adventure. There was a series called Perfect Kirby where it was about it was basically Kirby, but he was like a secret agent guy, and it was a really violent and just crazy Flash series. And in 3.1, there's guest appearance by Fox and Crystal. So Crystal's at the very end if you want to see that. But there's some cursing.
Yeah, the Perfect Kirby is really funny though too, if you just want to watch that.
But like a lot of Flashes, there's some cursing, and the fighting tends to get very violent because apparently, and this has been true for a long time, Flash animators love to create blood on their Flashes. I really don't get it, but that's what you see. There's a third one is called Goodbye Fox, Hello Wolf, and that one is very strange.
Yeah.
Fox is anxiously awaiting, they're in the hospital with Crystal, and Crystal's just given birth or something, and they're waiting for the baby to get, like, checked out. And he's, like, so excited, and Crystal's, like, not so excited. And they bring the baby in, and there's a horrible little scene where Fox is quite surprised. So check that one out. I'm not going to ruin it for you.
Yeah, definitely
not. And then, of course, there's the classic How to Get Crystal, which was one of the first fan films ever featured here. And then there's one called Slippy Screws Up, where Slippy accidentally throws himself out of an airlock. And
that was
Crystal's
funny.
Like, wondering what's going on. And there's some others that are not really stories, but so much as like, they're just Flash, but they have Crystal in it. One is called Crystal in Stereo, which is Uzz's crystal model, or well, he modified the crystal model that he modified the crystal model that Fox Hunt did, and had her doing a walking cycle. There's 3D crystal by Ryoko Kutsuni. There's the Crystal Can Can, where Crystal does a funny dance with the model. That one's a bit strange. Crystal yes. Shoots. Someone took one of Blackberry's art where she has a gun, and then they animated her so she lifts up her gun and fires and then lets it back down. I think that was a tech demo. As Crystal Sleeping, which is a flash of Crystal sleeping. And then one of her holding her staff, which is her holding her staff. And Crystal's head, where it's just her head. Actually, there's a new one. There's one new one I just found a couple days after I posted this. And let me find it. It's called, it was by Volpi Volva. And yeah, oh, yes, basically Crystal gets kidnapped by Donkey Kong, and so Fox McCloud has to be like Mario and climb the structure and get and rescue a Crystal from Donkey Kong or something like that. It's interesting, to say the least.
Yes. Yeah.
But that one was made a long time ago, so this it's like not really complete or something. So those are all the known Crystal Flashes that I know about that are also clean. There are a few unclean ones, which we won't be mentioning here.
Right, of course not. There's also some just general Star Fox ones, too, that you posted, didn't you?
Yes, and a few of them are very good, although a lot of them aren't that great. Let's see, Star Fox Misadventures is interesting. It's about how Tricky comes to live with Fox, and that's really, really annoying.
Yes, it is.
My favorite one right here is Star Fox 64 in a nutshell, which is following the parody of Dragon Ball Z in a nutshell, which is showing the series in like 30 seconds. And they basically explain the whole story of Star Fox 64 in 2 minutes. And it's so... They make so much fun of Fox and James, and it's so awesome.
Yeah.
Those are my two favorite, I think. But there's some other ones, and they're all on that same page with the Crystal Flashes we'll post in the show notes.
Yep.
So that's it for fan art.
Okay.
Or, I'm sorry, that's it for stories. Fan films and whatnot.
Okay. There was one thing that you found a couple of months ago, I think, and certainly should know about it, and that's a similarity between Crystal's theme and a couple of the soundtracks from Star Fox Adventures.
That's right. Tansoon, great guy who came up with our podcast theme. He is very musically inclined, obviously, and he noticed that the Cape Claw theme has a part of it that's basically the exact same theme as Crystal's theme. It's in there, and it's hard to tell because it uses different instrument and different timing, but let's play a clip of that real quick so you can see the similarities.
You know, it was, I didn't really notice the similarities at first when Dwight told me about it, because I listened to Crystal's theme before I listened to the Cape Claw theme, and I couldn't hear it, but after I had listened to Cape Claw first, and then listened to Crystal's theme, I could hear it. So, what exactly are the instruments that we would look for, Dwight?
Well, the Crystal's theme in her theme, the Crystal part that we're referring to that's in both songs, is played with a saxophone. And the part in Cape Claw that's the same thing is with a pan flute, according to Tansoon, that's what he told me. You can hear the part Crystal's theme is the same throughout the whole song, but the part of the Cape Claw thing that's the same as the Crystal theme is only in a certain part, and you can hear that on the file I put on the Crystal Archive. That sets the point in the song at 1:09. It starts with the Crystal-related thing. So just try listening to it a couple times with both of them, if you didn't already hear it from the clip we played. So that covers it for announcements as far as the site and stuff go, but I know there's one more thing that you're all dying to hear about, and that is, of course, Brawl news related to Crystal. Foxford?
So, Dwight has made a very special audio compilation of all of the press conferences and announcements from Nintendo about Crystal in Brawl. So go ahead and play that, Dwight.
Okay, I'm going to play it right now.
Hooray! Those are some pretty cool announcements. Not.
That's right, there were no announcements about Crystal and Brawl. None whatsoever, let alone audio-wise. So, I'm sorry, guys. There's no real news about this. There still isn't, although it's probably the most important thing that we're all waiting for.
Yeah. Hopefully she gets in. I'm sure she will.
I had Foxbird make an announcement last time on the last podcast, episode number 12, about the GDC. And, well, I've come into a bit of information about that. Want to explain that, Foxbird?
Sure. The Game Developers Conference was supposed to be scheduled for September, I think, 5th to the 7th for this year. And it turns out that it's not going to be that. It'll be taking place next week in Austin. And actually, something new that the Game Developers Conference is doing is they're going to do two of them now. So the one in Austin next week is not the main one, so there probably will not be any big announcements. But the real one that we all need to be looking forward to is the one that's going to take place in February.
Right, but that'll be after Brawl comes out anyway, so...
Right.
And we don't think there's going to be any major announcements, because Nintendo's not even listed as a speaker. On that. I just checked up on that. I'm sorry, this is my fault. I didn't really pay that much attention. I just said, oh, GDC. I didn't notice that it was, you know, it wasn't very long since the last one. So, that was my fault. Sorry about that.
That's alright, no big deal.
But, you know, we get these new announcements almost every day on the Brawl site, so who knows? I mean, they've already revealed all these new characters, at least three new characters, playable characters. I think it was Diddy Kong... Ike? Who else was there? Was there anyone else?
There's one more. The Pokemon Trainer.
Oh, that's right. Pokemon Trainer has control of an Ivysaur, a Charizard, and a Squirtle, I think. But you can't actually attack the Pokemon Trainer. You can only attack his Pokemon and stuff like that. But, yeah, there's the three new characters, but no Crystal announced. Actually, I do have something to say about that. There is a box art on the internet right now getting circulated, and it's really low resolution, but it's really official looking. It has all the merits of being true. It's got similar artwork as they've shown before, but it's different artwork. It's not like artwork that someone's just compiled together, you know, like you can tell is a fake. Okay?
Right.
It's new art, but it's in the same style as the renders they've been showing. And it came from a reliable source, too. It was first posted by a source that often has very accurate game box stuff. Now, we'll post a link to the picture, but basically, Crystal's not on there, if that's what you're wondering. In fact, there are no new characters listed on there that haven't already been announced. So, if Crystal is in it, and they're going to announce her or not, we can conclude that she's not going to be considered on one of the top 10 most popular, because there's only like 10 characters on the box art, or she's a secret character, which, you know, they won't reveal anyway. We won't even find out about that until at least 2 days after Brawl comes out. You know, give time for people to figure out all the secret characters. So, yeah. We may not find out at all until December 3rd. But... if we hear anything, you'll be the first to know. Just go to crystalarchive.com.
That's right. So, actually, Dwight, I have a question for you. Do you think it's more likely Crystal will be an actual playable character, or do you think that it's more likely she'd have to be unlocked?
I think this is one case where I can clearly see my own bias, which you normally can't do. I can't conceive of Brawl coming out where Crystal's not a playable character. I just can't see it. I mean, I know it's a possibility, but in my mind, it's like almost already happened. So I think she will be a playable character, partly because of the reasons you stated earlier. She's extremely popular. She was the second most requested character and the first most requested female character. So I don't see how she can't be in the game, really. And I think she'll be a playable. But if she isn't, if she's just an assistance trophy, I'd be happy with that. But I really just don't see it any other way than her being an actual playable character.
What do you think are some of the moves that she would have?
Well, I'd like to think that they'd be a combination of, quote, magic, which would be, you know, psychic-based powers, and her staff, and kicks, probably. Lots of kicks, because she's got those long legs. But, yeah, some kicks, and then bow staff-type attacks, and then magic-based attacks. Probably some kind of stun move, some kind of, like you said, using the staff as a projectile shoot her up in the air, the rocket boost or whatever.
Right.
Something like that. Probably be able to shoot, blue beams from the staff itself. But most of all, I think she would be mostly a close-range fighter, probably. But yeah, the fact that she has a staff and psychic powers will result in a fairly unique moveset as far as Brawl goes. That's what I think. What do you think?
Well, I think that she would probably be a better close fighter with all of the close quarter fighting that she would do. But I also think, with her staff, she could probably be pretty good at long range too, because the super quake that you get in adventures, I think that's what is that place?
It's Dragon... No, it's not Dragon Rock.
No, it's not. It's the one right before it.
Yeah,
That's strange.
It's the... I think it's called the... No, that's the Cloud Runner Fortress. I don't remember what that's called.
Where the King Earthwalker
is. It's the Earthwalker Temple or something.
Yeah. So that's where you get the Super Quake, and if she were to have that for, a downbeat move, that would probably be pretty effective to knock everyone off their feet from long range away.
I don't think that kind of move would be able to be a long range. I mean, Donkey Kong has basically the same kind of move, and it's real short range.
That's true. That's true.
So, I don't know. But I think the only real long range attack she would have is perhaps some kind of psychic attack, which would be similar in function to PK Thunder from NES, not PK Thunder, PK Pulse. No, PK Thunder, where he shoots a little bolt and you can move it around and stuff like that.
Right.
And then her staff shooting blasts.
What do you think that her psychic thing? Do you think she could, since she is telepathic? Do you think she could? Somehow stun them through their minds, the enemy?
Right, that's what I was... Yeah, Mewtwo has a stun attack. He looks really hard at people and hits them with... Probably Confuse Ray would be the Pokemon term. But, yeah. But that would, of course, have to be pretty short range, too, most likely.
Yeah.
So she'd probably be like Sheik, which is mostly a short range, but not as fast, with a staff, of course.
Right.
As far as playing is concerned. So, that covers pretty much all the Crystal news. That was a lot.
Yeah, actually, it was.
Well, we can get into this Sword of Crystal related. Now we've got Star Fox related news. I'm going to let Foxbird take that away.
Okay, and the first one of these is Andross, the old one, is an assist trophy for Brawl now. Which was rather surprising for me to learn that.
Have you ever even played the original?
I did many, many, many years ago.
I've only played the first level. I could not master the controls at all. Maybe I got a bad version or something, but yeah, I could not play that game.
I got to the second level, but yeah, it was the one night I was able to play it, and that was even before I was a Star Fox fan, let alone a Crystal fan.
Well, you kind of had to have the games out for a while before you can be a fan of them. I mean, that was the first game, right?
Yeah. Is the original Star Fox going to be on the Virtual Console for the Wii?
You know, I don't know. That's going to be tough because it has some very specialized chips in it. I don't know if that's going to happen. Maybe.
Yeah.
There's, as far as I know, there's no mention whatsoever of it. Not even rumors. So, yeah. That would be cool if they could do that and the unreleased Star Fox 2 to Virtual Console. That would be really good.
Yeah, they did the both of the Metroids, right?
Well, there's more than just two, but they did the original NES version, and they did the Super NES Super Metroid, which many consider the best game of all time. I've not actually played it yet. As big of a Metroid fan as I am, I've not actually played Super Metroid. It's sad. I'm going to download it soon. But yeah.
Shame on Dwight for not playing it
yet. See, I was waiting. I knew it was going to come out for the Virtual Console, so I was waiting. And it came out like the week before Metroid Prime 3, and so I got Metroid Prime 3, and I'm almost done with that. And then I'll get Super Metroid and beat that. So yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, cool.
So Andross is, his old polygonical self is going to be there shooting polygons out of his mouth at the stage. That's the special assist. He's an assist trophy, is what he is. So that's that.
Yeah, it'll be pretty, I don't even think they could make him an unlockable playable character, even if they tried.
No, because he floats.
He's just too big. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, every character can't be able to fly indefinitely. That defeats the concept of Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
Some more things we have. I've been posting every week. I post a new video on Starhawks Online, and I've been trying to post a new one every week. I've been successful so far, and that's resulted in me posting like 15 of them. And there's been a lot of them. They're all about different subjects, all Starhawks related. And some of the more recent ones, I came across several very funny ones, including one called Star Fox the Movie. And it's so hilarious. Foxbird, tell us what you think about that one. I know you like that one. Probably more than me, even.
Well, probably not more than you. There's actually two of them that go by the Star Fox the Movie title, so that's slightly confusing. but yeah, the one that Dwight's referring to is they've got a bunch of really funny lines in it. The one that I really like is the theatrical trailer one, which is where they actually take the Star Fox 64 cutscene clips and some of the voice acting, and they put it together to be an actual theatrical trailer that could, I mean, honestly, it makes me want to go and watch a Star Fox movie. That's how good it is.
Oh, that one. You're talking about the serious one.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Oh, okay. Okay. Our notes here are kind of ambiguous, so I didn't know which one he was talking about.
Yeah, well, they both go by the same title, though, so that's
right.
Kind of confusing.
That trailer is really, really well made. It looks like a movie. You don't even notice the fact that you're using N64 graphics. It's done that well.
Well, I can definitely notice that it's N64 graphics, but...
Well, you know, it doesn't look bad, is what I'm saying.
Right, right.
It doesn't look like it's old. It looks really exciting. Like, you want to go see this. Or, I think it inspired me to go out and play Star Fox 64.
Yeah, and especially the music.
It's epic.
It's epic. It's from the background music is immediate music, and... actually, I just got the soundtrack from that was used in the theatrical trailer. So
which song was it?
Let's see, what was that called?
No, I mean like, what's it from? I didn't know you knew what it was.
It's from Immediate Music, which they're just somebody that makes a lot of the epic music soundtracks.
Oh yeah, they make trailer music. I've seen companies that do that before. Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay.
And the one that they use is called Liberation, and it's the choir version.
Cool. Well, the movie I was talking about, which goes by the same... Actually, there's three, but I won't mention another one. But the other one is called Star Fox the Movie, and it's where they took the intro to Star Fox 64 and where they're explaining the story of Lylat. And they play, like, Matrix music in the background. And they have these, like, two or three people in the room, and they're doing voice acting for the people instead of saying what they're... Well, there's anytime there's text on the screen, they read it, but they read it really funny and add little bits in there. Let me play a clip. This is the clip from... This is the first part where it's... where General Pepper is contacting the Star Fox team. The first thing you see when you start up Star Fox 64.
Message from General Pepper, priority one. We need your help, Starfrog, sir. Anthros has declared war! He's invaded the Lilac system and is trying to take over Corneria! I belong to the Jump Ice
the cockpit. Are we?
No, 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 no!
So that's why I like that one so much. There, I did a couple others. One was a really old one called Moonlit music video, and it's or Star Fox Moonlit music video, and it's just a really well made one, and there's lots of them. Just every week I have it so it posts automatically on Friday afternoon a new video. I call them weekend fan creations. It's kind of like the fan the feature artists we do here on the Crystal Archive. So I've got one new one I posted yesterday, and I've got one new one coming next week. It's already posted. You know, I can post to the future. And then after that, well, I'm just looking for some. So if y'all hear of any Star Fox-related movies that hasn't already been there and you want to see or you think it's really good, just let me know, and I'll post it up there.
So speaking of the Star Fox online, the Star Fox talk has been moved to an IRC now, an Internet Relay Chat. And this happened, I think, 2 weeks ago, wasn't it, Dwight? Or was it three?
Well, it was kind of a transition. We tried to move it, you know, over the course. And we were working on IRC a lot, even before it was officially. So we'd be, like, doing two chats at once. But we finally, two and a half, maybe 3 weeks ago, DZ Composer integrated an IRC into the forums. So all you have to do is sign in, or maybe not even have to sign in. I don't remember. There's a little button on the top called Chat, and you just click it. And then on Friday nights, on the Friday nights in the evenings, we're doing the Star Fox Talk chat. And we had a really nice one last night. There was a lot of people.
Yeah, there was a lot of people. It seems to be getting more popular every week.
Yeah, Foxbird came in kind of late, so he missed some of the really good stuff. But we talked about all kinds of memes, like the Crystal Can Enjoyer sandwich. You know, as an aside, I'm a fan of memes. I like finding out, like, where they came from and watching remix videos of them and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's what we were talking about, like... do you like Mudkips? Was a big thing. I love Mudkips. You like Mudkips?
Actually, I've never heard of them before. What are they?
They're Pokemon, dude.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not a Pokemon person, so...
That wouldn't make any sense to
you
at all.
I know nothing of Pokemon. Yeah.
Mudkips are like the starter Pokemon from Ruby and Sapphire. Yeah, Ruby and Sapphire, I think. And they're okay. Just like these... they're like a four-legged frog thing, but they don't act like a frog. They don't have a long tongue or anything. It's really not like related to any real animal, actually.
That's kind of
but,
strange.
But yeah, like most memes, it has very strange origins. Do you like Mudkips? But it's all misspelled and stuff. And or actually, it starts out going like, I heard some rumors, and then someone says, "What sort of rumors?" And you say, "I heard you like Mudkips." And then you're supposed to say, "I love Mudkips." Yeah, I just was noticing that one the other day. So, yeah, totally random.
That's funny.
But related to memes. So, yeah, that's what we were talking about a lot. Mudkips and Batman was what we were talking about.
That's funny. I remember something that we like to do in the IRC is change our nicknames.
Yeah, we were changing our names. People were changing their name to Dwight, and I was changing my name to Crystal. And A short time, I was my name was I Love Mudkips, but anyway, it was just crazy. But I mean, there's Star Fox related stuff in there too. Don't worry that. But we just like to get off topic because, let's face it, we talk about Star Fox all the time. This is a chance to talk about other stuff too. So that's the Star Fox related news. There is one big announcement, or one big thing about the website itself, the Crystal Archive, I'd like to mention. I think it was a month ago, there's a website called Smashing Magazine, and it's a magazine, it's an online magazine, that every week or so, they just post these huge lists of website development related things. Like, one day they'll list like 78 CSS tricks, and then the next week they'll list here's 40 awesome WordPress themes, and they're really well compiled lists of website design stuff. And so a month ago they posted, hey, show us your 404 pages. A 404 page is what happens when someone tries to go to a web page on a site that doesn't exist or has moved or something, and you can tell the server to automatically redirect to this standard page called the 404 page. And you're basically supposed to explain what's going on and what happened and why the page is not there and have you been messing with the URL and that's why you can't find anything. And I have a 404 page, so I submitted it. They said, show it to us and we'll pick like the best and list them, you know, in a couple weeks. So I sent mine. I posted my very special 404 page and they listed it. They listed it right next to the Think of the Kittens server page. Which you'd have to just see. But Fuxbird, why is my 404 page so awesome?
Because it's random and funny. Just like everything else. At the very top, the first thing that you read is, oh snap, Crystal lost your page. Bad Crystal, no biscuit.
And it shows a picture of Crystal standing there, and you know how she lifts up her hands in a Zelda style to hold up an item?
Right.
Well, I photoshopped out the item and I put a big question mark there. It's like, Crystal lost your page. And so I explain what's going on and why you can't find this page, and suggest what you can do to fix this problem. And it was featured in Smashing Magazine's list of great 404 pages. I'm so excited about that. And I got a lot of exposure that way, too, from people who normally wouldn't go to the site at all or wouldn't even know about it. So that was really good.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome. Congratulations there, Dwight. Thanks. For having such a creative mind.
You know, I'm thinking about changing it, actually. You know, it's so good, I'm going to change it. That's the way us web designers think. I'm thinking about changing it to something like Crystal can't enjoy her sandwich because I can't find your page or something like that. So that's it for any kind of Star Fox, Crystal, or anything related news. Let's talk about stuff unrelated to Crystal.
All right.
Let's talk about Foxbird. Foxbird, you've been working on several projects recently, and one, it goes by the name of Database 3. Tell us about that.
Well, Database 3 is a wiki, and it originated from fanfiction.net, which is where all of the Star Fox stories are at. And Sir Raphael came up with the idea to create a wiki where new authors to the Star Fox authors in the fandom, they can go and access resources to help them write their story. So what I've been doing is helping get that wiki going, and so far it seems to be going really, really well. And what it offers is it offers information about the series. It offers a place to list your story, to get help on how to write it better. And also it has a section that's got places about like a character database, a technologies database, and a locations database, where you can read information about both canon and original things that have appeared in stories. So for example, if you want to include Fox in your story but not have him be the stereotypical, you know, without any depth to him, then you can go there and read more about him, so that way you can include him better in your story. And there's also a section on the wiki, tips and tricks section, where some of the accomplished authors have posted information on how to help you write your story and have it be better than some of the other stories that are posted pretty regularly in the Star Fox section. Also, something that we did last week was we started to record a podcast for the wiki. And if you want to go ahead and give a listen to that, go ahead, and it will let you know a little bit more about what Database 3 is all about.
Yeah, and I'm hosting that that podcast for them, so they're going to, you know, every... How often do you get it? Once a month, right?
Yeah, there will be a monthly one, and then we're thinking about having more. For example, I came up with the idea of having a podcast about, like, a writing guide. For example, I think description is very, very important to a story, so I might record a podcast talking about how to include description in your story. And also, Dwight came up with an excellent idea, and that's actually reading some of the stories and having voice actors for them.
Yeah, that would be very cool to hear some of those stories, and you could do it like every so often. I mean, there's a lot of work that goes into that, but it would be awesome to hear some of those stories.
Yeah,
brought
it would be
to
really
life,
cool,
if you will.
We can have Dwight do it too.
I can do some of the voices, although I'm not sure how good because I haven't listened to myself recorded. But I think I'm good.
Okay. Now I have to make you do this.
Well,
the shopkeeper
Slimmy?
Imitation. No, the shopkeeper from Adventures.
Oh god, I'm probably gonna spike out the mic, you know, like it'll clip, you know. But I'll do it. The shopkeeper from Adventures. Okay. Let me drink some water because it hurts my voice. Okay. You have to forgive me. I haven't done this in months, so I might be out of practice.
You pay this much. No,
that's awesome.
That's too low. Okay, I'll sell it to you. Put that down. You don't have enough scarabs.
What else does he say?
That's
there are
job,
many
boy.
Rooms. I have items, mini maps,
and something else.
And if you like to play games, then enter the room behind you.
And stuff like that. I don't know.
That's
actually
job.
Pretty bad. I used to do it better than that. Where were we? Oh.
You moved to DigiPen.
Oh, that's right. Yes, DigiPen. So I traveled 2,400 miles over the course of 4 days, and it was intense driving that long time. I didn't stop for anything except to use the bathroom, get gas, and buy food. And I didn't eat the food at the thing. I ate it while driving. And let me just say that the thing that kept me sane was listening to Go Nintendo podcasts, which I had been saving up. So yeah, it was a long drive, but I actually enjoyed it. I thought I wouldn't, but I enjoyed it. It wasn't actually as tiring as I thought it would be, even after that one day where it was 13 hours of straight driving. Man, that was intense. So anyway, I got up there, I got to Redmond, Washington, and here I sit, and I'm in my own apartment, got it all set up, and I've been to my first week at DigiPen, the game college, video game college. I'm in 4 classes, after a lot of work trying to get them all changed and fixed. I'm in a game class, which is going to be fun, because we're going to get to make like 2 games over the course of the semester. And I'm in a math class that focuses on linear algebra, which is the stuff you need for, like, animation. I'm in a computer animation class, which teaches the basics of programming, like, how do you program 3D objects. And I'm in another class, which is C++, which is a language upon which about 95-99% of all video games are currently use that language. Very powerful, very old language. So, yes, very interesting time. Learning to make
cool
video games, living the dream. And in case you're wondering, I might, yes, eventually make a Crystal game, but not anytime soon. I don't know how to make games yet. I'm just in the college for it. Maybe within a year and a half, I'll learn everything I need to know to make a simple game.
That's pretty cool.
So that'd be exciting.
Do you have any warnings for people who are going to head out to college and maybe pursue a degree in what you're going to get?
Well, no matter what college you go to, if you're still in high school, take calculus, because you're going to have to take it in college or something, and if you're not good at math like me, calculus is going to be a pain, a real pain. So get some experience in the higher maths before you go to college. That's my main recommendation. Second recommendation, as far as video games are concerned, it's not all fun and games, you know, it's kind of cliche, but you don't sit around and play video games for a living. In fact, you probably won't play much video games at all because you'll be too busy making games. But if you're a creative person and you like that sort of thing and you like programming, it'll be more fun than playing video games. Just know that it's a lot of work, and it's not like just getting to play. You're going to have to work on a team. You're going to have to let some of your ideas die for the good of the group. I mean, that's anywhere you're working in a team. But, I mean, a lot of people don't have that experience. Sometimes not even before college. Sometimes colleges don't really stress teamwork-based environments, and so when you get out in the workforce, it just really breaks you down because you're not used to working as a team, giving up some of yourself so you can, for the good of the group, basically. But yeah, be warned that if you want to make video games for a living, it's a tough road, but you can do it. If I can do it, anybody can do it, as far as I'm concerned.
Yep, good advice.
So that's all I have for Crystal or Star Fox related news, or even, you know, about me. Anything from you? Anything you want to mention, Foxbird?
Nope, I don't think so. It's like on to the comments
and
questions.
That's right. This is the next section, comments and questions. And we got, what, 5 questions from Lucas?
Yes, we
do. Yes, he sent us a lot of questions this week, or this month. I'll ask them to you first, Foxbird, and then I'll answer with my answer. Okay. All right, okay. So the first question is, what kind of fabric is Crystal's tribal clothing made of?
I actually do not know. I've never been to Serenia, so I have no idea what it would be made of. Obviously, she wears a lot of body armor, so that's not necessarily fabric, but I really don't know what her loincloth would be made out of. I would imagine that's got to be some sort of soft but durable fabric.
Yeah, my theory is it's some kind of wool. Something like animal fur of some kind, you know, not necessarily sheep, because we don't know if sheep are in the Lylat system, but some kind of animal fur that was taken and spun into threads and then made into clothing, and wool is, of course, durable and weatherproof, but warm, although a little itchy, right?
Yeah.
But if they're... if they're used to it, right? That's all they have. So I'm thinking some kind of wool. The second question is, what kind of metal is Crystal's staff made of?
I'm not going to have any spoilers for my story because that's something that I investigated in it. I actually do not think that her staff is made of metal. I think it is something completely different. Not anything that we would find here on Earth.
Okay. Well, if it has to be a metal, I'd say it's some kind of alloy, because it can't be brass, it can't be gold or iron, because those are all way, way too heavy.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it's some kind of alloy, perhaps some aluminum and some steel or something like that, some combination. But there's reason to believe that it's not just any metal anyway. I mean, it does have the ability to shrink and expand, and most metal can't do that, unless it's some kind of mechanical thing. So we don't really know, but whatever it is, it's pretty unusual.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Where did Crystal get her powers?
Okay, this is something else I also explore in my story. The second chapter of Sudden Invasion, which is now a trilogy, by the way. The planet is what give her and her race her powers. So it's some kind of link between the inhabitants, her race, and the planet. And that will be further investigated as I keep writing my story.
Is it magically based?
Yes, it's magically based.
Ah. Well, for those of you who know me, and I've had this discussion with a lot of people, I actually hate magic. I hate it.
Anti-fantasy person, you.
What?
I'm just kidding. I said you're an anti-fantasy person.
Well, not anti-fantasy. I just don't like the way magic deals with things. Because I like sci-fi a lot. Because sci-fi, you say, I have this anti-gravity gun, and it works like this. And here's how it works. And because it does this, it logically follows that you can do this with it, right? Well, right. When you're dealing with magic, you say, how did you lift that boulder? I say, it's magic. I say, okay, you know, that's it. That explains everything, right? I just hate yeah. that. There's no real explanation. There's no real... It doesn't explain where it really came from. You just say, it's kind of a cop-out, in my opinion. You say, oh, it's magic. You don't actually explain where it came from originally, you know, or how it works.
Well, actually, good fantasy writers, actually, there's laws that magic has to follow. So some of the better authors have to, whatever magic they choose, they have to make sure that it has laws, so that way it's more believable. So it's not like, you know, here, this boulder just got lifted with magic. It's got more meaning to it. It's like, it got lifted with magic because the magic came from this, and you can't do this with the magic.
I respect that. I respect that type of magic.
Right.
But just in general, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, I think Crystal's powers are from herself, you know, and not necessarily from any outside source, but, you know, like psychic powers. Like people, I mean, some people believe that there are psychic powers. People here on Earth have psychic powers. And I don't know whether that's true or not. I like to think that would be cool to have psychic powers, but, you know, where did those come from? Well, it's just, you know, the mind became... unlocked itself in some fashion, or became sufficiently advanced to be able to do something beyond normal activities. So, you know, I think it's just like most psychic powers that they typically describe.
Right.
How old was Crystal when she lost her parents?
I think she was 19 in Star Fox Adventures, wasn't she?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I would say that she was probably that age when she lost her parents, because it doesn't really say if she was went directly from Serenia to Dinosaur Planet, but I think she did, because it's, you know, it'd be kind of hard to travel to Lylat system or, you know, wherever Serenia's system is and not be noticed.
Well, okay, my opinion is it was probably 2 or 3 years. Because because of the way the words are phrased, it sounds like she's been searching for a while to me. So I think she was 16 or 17 when she, whenever whatever happened, and she survived. So, you know, and plus that leaves another interesting option that provides for one for the ability for Nintendo to create a game in between Serenity. Serenia's destruction and Crystal arriving on Dinosaur Planet. So that the so-called Crystal Adventures that are so rumored. But
I think Dwight will be the one to program that game.
I don't know. That would be, you know what? If they picked me, I'd be so happy. I'd probably have to move to Japan though for that though. That kind of game. I don't know about that. So yeah, I think it was. 2 or 3 years before Adventures, so she was 16 or 17. Very traumatic experience, you know, whatever age, for your planet to die. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
What powers Crystal's staff?
Same answer as the one of where she got her powers.
You think it's from the planet itself?
That's kind of a loophole. Yeah, I think it comes from the planet itself. I know that you think, Dwight, that her entire race all have psychic abilities, and I think the planet gives them all that. Because in my story, Serenia has no technology at all. They don't have any communication system, no computers, nothing like that. And it's all because of what the planet has given them, power-wise, with their psychic abilities. As for her staff, I think that the planet is what powers that.
Hmm. Well, I think Crystal's staff... you know, in Adventures, it's powered up by those magic gem thingies that you hit off of the trees. But there's no reason to believe that those are in Serenia, and if they are, who knows? It's a big plot hole. Another big plot hole to add on to our list of 40.
yeah, the thread on Star Fox.
We made a thread just about trying to find all the plot holes, and most of them were from Adventures, and there's a lot.
Yeah.
So we...
Well, one of the things that... you could notice about it is that Crystal never uses those gems when she
uses
her staff.
That's right, but she also doesn't use any powers either that are on her staff. She just opens her staff and holds it. So we don't... Actually, you know what? No, she does.
Yeah, she does, when she shoots them to Andross at the...
But end. That was after Fox has had it, so there were still the gems in it. So who knows, man? It could be anything.
That's true, but what if there weren't any gems left when she takes it from him?
It's a cutscene. They have to make some assumptions, right?
Yeah.
But even still, it could be Crystal herself powering up the staff. You know, she does have psychic powers. Who knows? I mean, she shot those beams, right, from the Cloud Runner, but that could right. also be a plot hole, and who knows? I don't know. Bad question, because I don't even think Nintendo could figure that one out. All right, we got one last question. It's from Brian, and I think it's mostly, I'm going to let Foxbird answer this pretty much. Will you please update the fan art section to the Crystal Archive?
I like how you said that. Yes, I will. I am currently working on it. The fan art takes a very long time, because what I have to do is search for new artists, and DeviantArt is a huge site. They're up into probably well over 40 million arts now, so it takes a long time to go through and find all of the new artists and make sure they're not duplicates or they're not already listed somewhere. And also, I have lots of questions for Dwight, since I'm still new at it.
Yeah, he sends me art, says, is this appropriate? Is this appropriate? And I say, yes, this is appropriate, but it's not new, or this is inappropriate, or this is fine, even though you think it's inappropriate, and we're still working on it. But now he knows. Yeah. He knows what I go through for you guys.
And we appreciate him for that.
And we appreciate you, Foxbird, for your hard work.
Absolutely. It's a lot of fun to do it. But yeah, there's, I think, about 40 or 50 new arts now, and I'm not even done yet, so the next fan art post will be along.
Yes, and then hopefully after that we can compile the list together. Since it takes Foxbird so long to do all the new art, I've kind of taken back over the control of the main list, so I'll actually probably be updating the main list. As soon as he gets me the list, I'll combine them together and make sure there's no duplicates, and then... we'll get that up there as soon as we can.
Yep.
So I think that's all the things we have, all the questions and news. So I'd like to thank you all for listening to this podcast, episode number 13.
Yep, and if you want to contact Dwight, his email address is dwighthouse@gmail.com.
And if you want to contact Foxbird, I can't remember his email, so I'm going to let him tell you his email. It's
my email address is itwpdname@yahoo.com.
All right. And this has been the Crystal Archive Podcast, and this is episode number 13. Hopefully we'll get it out to you here to the same day on Saturday, September the 8th.